Oh, snaps.
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Well, good morning, everybody. I'm Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, the CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company, where your pet's health is our business and we're friends. Don't let friends feed kibble. No, we don't. We sure don't. Never. But, you know, we are maybe going to take a look at bringing in some freeze-dried food, Dr. Jason. And here's why. Because people cannot seem to camp with raw dog food. Now, I can. You can. We all can. I think it's super easy. You just take it in a cooler. Most people don't camp over 7 days, right? I mean,
right.
And if you do, just we can help you with that too. But maybe we'll look at some camping food, because we don't want you going back to kibble for any reason, for any amount of time.
Right. That's the worst thing. Whatever. And I tell people all the time, like, if you just feel like, you know, because I have that question, you know, people are traveling like crazy now this summer. And I hear that a lot from clients. Well, it's just not very convenient. Okay. Well, but you don't have to go back to kibble. So I agree. Like, I would rather give them options that are not kibble, you know, and just right up front and head that off. So say, like, if you're going to go on a trip and you don't want to deal with the raw, then do this instead. So I think that's great. If you're going to do that, just.
Yeah. You know, we're very picky, right? Because we want stuff that's pure and clean, no crap in it. I had someone the other day who was a kibble feeder and friends of our son. And he was trying to sell me on the fact that dogs have now, they have found more chromosomes in dogs than wolves that will now allow them to eat wheat. And barley and rye and all this kind of stuff. And I said, well, you know, maybe these chromosomes have developed because we've force fed them this crap. But does that mean that it's really healthy? And so I don't know. I'll have to dive into that a little more. Do you have anything to say on that?
Yeah. I would like to see that, research. Yeah. And I'd like to know, like, the question I always ask about research like that is, and who did the research and who funded the research? Because that is something I've heard, you know, over and over again from people that feel like, you know, kibble is fine and we don't have to feed raw food. And because, oh, dogs have adapted to it. You don't get, you know, a evolutionary change in what, 80 years that kibble's been out there. I think that's impossible. So I would have to see, you know, some direct evidence to connect those dots.
Yeah, it was a podcast. And so I'm going to listen to the podcast and then find out, you know, what that podcast is, you know, what is there. It's supposed to be a scientific. And today we throw that word around, scientific, without much meaning behind it. Right. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, let's have we really done the double blind placebo studies? Have we really done all of this investigative work, or have we run with a narrative for years and years and years? And I was reading an article today. It was just talking about, you know, vaccine research in dogs, that, you know, this practice, and in this article that says that a harmful practice since 1978. Dr. Schultz said this recommendation for annual revaccination is a practice that was officially started in 1978, and that this recommendation was made without any scientific validation of the need to booster immunity so frequently. And that he also said the patient receives no benefit and may be placed at serious risk when an unnecessary vaccine is given. And they said, which I think people just assume that there is scientific studies behind all of these different vaccinations and re-vaccinations that people and pets get. And, you know, if you dig, I think you're going to find something different, Dr. Jacek. Makes me crazy. Oh, yeah. Makes me crazy.
And I can't, I don't think I see a single case of, you know, chronic issues, whether it's itchy skin or cancer patients or autoimmune or any of these chronic illnesses where the pets have not had a boatload of vaccines. I mean, I ask people, you know, do you still vaccinate? And usually I think they think that I'm going to tell them they're supposed to be vaccinating.
And they're like, I do.
So if they're not, then they're a little bit sheepish about their answer. But then some people are like, oh, yeah, I keep my dog up to date and all the vaccines. Like, yeah, you need to stop doing that. It's not a good thing. But almost all of them have had these insults to their immune system. And I'm beginning to think that in some cases it's irreversible. When you negatively impact the immune systems on a young dog by starting, you know, puppy vaccines, especially the ones that are started so young, 5-6 weeks, completely needless. They have all these maternal antibodies. There's no need to be vaccinating them. And then they get, you know, 4 or 5 shots, you know, 4 or 5 boosters, and they do. They'll vaccinate them every 3 weeks and until they're 4 months old. And if you're going to a place like Banfield, and you're late for one of those shots, they will tell you start the whole series over. So I've actually seen puppies that have had 6 or 7 booster shots because they end up late for one. And so then they start all over again. It's ridiculous. And I think there's, you know, there's a genetic component. I've read some articles on this in the veterinary literature that genetics make a big difference. So if your dog comes from generations and generations of over-vaccinated kibble fed dogs, mm-hmm. they're not going to be as healthy as as opposed to like a third or fourth generation raw fed, minimally vaccinated. So I think if you have to look at, if it's a rescue dog, you're not going to know. If you're going to get a dog from a breeder, I think finding, and I have a lot of clients that are doing this these days, is seeking out breeders that feed raw that will forego vaccinating. You know, I tell people, don't just ask the breeder, tell them you're working with me. You're going to bring the puppy right into the vet. Just ask them if they will not do the vaccines. And then we can start on a better protocol or healthier protocol for the puppies. And I have a lot of clients that are doing that. And I think that's going to be creating way more healthy dogs. I've actually heard of breeders that put in their sales contract that if the puppy is taken to a corporate clinic, I think some of them even specifically mentioned like VCA, they will not honor their health guarantee.
Well, I wouldn't.
Yeah. No, I think it's a great step. I am happy to see that more and more breeders, this is all different breeds, that more and more breeders are getting involved in this. And for people that are interested in seeking this out, there's a website, you might know it, Dee Dee. It's naturalrearing.com, I think, where breeders that operate this way and that, you know, will feed the puppies raw and do minimal vaccines and things like that. They'll be listed on that site. So, you know, for anybody that's looking at getting a dog, really keep that in mind, because I think some of these cases that just don't respond, just don't respond to anything. I think this is a big part of it, that their immune systems get so screwed up as young puppies that it's irreversible. I think in most cases we can improve it. But I think getting them to be like super sound, healthy, symptom-free dogs is tough. I mean, I have some cases where it's been really tough and really hard to figure out. But I think that's something to think about and support these breeders that are going this direction. Because as we know, it's not easy to go against the, you know, mainstream and, you know, do things that are, different than what, you know, the rest of the breeding world is doing. But I think supporting breeders like that is a great thing. Keep that movement going.
Yeah. And if you think that vets listen to the AAHA or the AVMA, they don't have to. They do not. The AAHA or the AVMA don't enforce vaccine schedules. They leave it up to the individual vets. And in this article, I was reading Dr. Bob Rogers. He hired a Chicago-based law firm and initiated a class action suit for pet owners who weren't given, wait for it, informed consent and full disclosure prior to vaccination administration. His article is called The Courage to Embrace the Truth. And in this article, he says that while he was attending several of these conferences around the country, he asked over 400 vets, all from various parts of the country. So this isn't just in one area, but he asked them if they attended the seminars that were offered on new vaccination protocols. And he said he was told by all but one vet, I quote, "I don't care what the data says, I'm not changing," yeah, close quote. And one vet even said, "I'm not changing until the AVMA makes me change." So, I mean, is that an attitude that says, wow, I want the best for my patients? What?
Right. It's not. It's, you know, don't think for yourself, just follow mainstream because it's easier. You know, we've talked about that. You know, it's a heck of a lot easier to just, you know, do what everybody else is doing. But then are you giving the best care? I mean, that's the type of question I started asking myself years ago when I started changing how I practice. Like I realized early on that like they're just training me to be a pawn of the pharmaceutical company. And that doesn't even feel like medicine. It's not even healing. It's not, you're not doing any good for anybody except the company selling these drugs and vaccines. And I, for the life of me, I don't know why veterinarians don't open their minds more. How can you see your patients keep getting sicker and sicker and sicker and sicker and not at least look at it and say, maybe we should be doing something different here. Maybe there's something to this raw feeding, or maybe we don't want to be, you know, over vaccinating. And it's getting worse. I hear almost daily, you know, clients come in and their dogs are being, you know, vaccinated without consent. Just they're not even telling people they're going to do it. They just do it. They look at the dog's record, like especially because in a lot of clinics still are not open. They're not letting the people go in. And I hear this all the time from people that they will, you know, their dog will go in and they'll look at the bill. Like, what's this rabies shot doing on here? Like, I didn't authorize that. And sometimes dogs aren't even due. Like, you know, they're like, oops, so sorry, we made a mistake. Like, what? You made a mistake. You might have killed. The other day that told me that dog was not even due for rabies. It had one last year, so it should have been a 3-year. And they took the dog, I can't remember what they took the dog in for. Certainly wasn't a vaccine. And they dog was there and then they just vaccinated. And she said the dog wasn't due. Oh, sorry, you just made a mistake. You know, like it's just awful. It's so, so negligent. I would say even malpractice, some of the things that I hear coming out of vet clinics.
Well, Dr. Patricia Jordan, who's a vet, she wrote an article. And in the article, she was saying in the early 1980s, Rottweilers and Doberman pups were dying after their vaccines. Mm-hmm. And what they found was that the vaccine antigens, okay, that's the dangerous stuff, guys, in all vaccines. It's all the stuff they put in there. But back to the article. The vaccine antigens actually neutralized the mom's antibodies. So what did they do, Dr. Jasek? You know what they did? They didn't say, hey, let's don't give these puppies these vaccines. You know what they said? They said, let's stop the breastfeeding earlier so that the vaccines will work.
Uh-huh.
Because the offspring were already protected by the mom's milk. But man wanted the manufactured false immunity to be vaccine delivered. So this is what pet parents do not understand. This is what human beings do not understand. That money, money, money is at the bottom of this, right? We got to get those vaccines out there because it's worth so much, billions. Do you know how many billionaires we've made? It's maddening, Dr. Jasek, and it's frightening. It is so frightening because we are in this system that doesn't look at health. It's like, who cares? It's collateral damage.
Now, you know, I heard a statistic just the other day that said that every time a vaccine company comes out with a new vaccine, it was something like they're guaranteed to make it at least $1 billion on it. Like just right off the bat, new vaccine, so no wonder they keep pumping them out. And if you think these vaccines that they're giving to pets are thoroughly tested, they're not. And there's nobody checking to make sure they are. And all of the information on these vaccines, all of the recommendations for how often they should be given, it all comes from the vaccine companies. There is not a single independent research study supporting the need or the benefit for any of these vaccines in pets. None. There's nothing out there. You know, I've certainly, heard evidence the other side, like Ron Schultz, who did this, did the research that boosters are not necessary. You know, there's that kind of research, but you just don't hear much about that, right? You can't let people know that this may not be necessary and they could indeed be killing their dogs. I swear I've made this comment a couple of times in the last couple of weeks. I've had patients come in that have been taking their dogs to one of the Banfields, which is the corporate PetSmart clinic. And I now say, oh, these dogs have the Banfield syndrome. Because they're just so
nice. I like it.
They're just so depleted. You could just tell. Their coats don't look good and they're so depleted and they're so weak. And they've been over vaccinated and over medicated. And, now we got this, heartworm shot, I talk to people about not doing heartworm prevention unnecessarily. Well, then they've got a shot that lasts a year. Don't give anything to your pets that lasts a year. You can't take it back out. If that damages your pet, you're just screwed. You're not getting rid of that. Anything that lasts that long in the body, don't give it. If you're going to go somewhere where there's a lot of heartworm disease and you just feel you got to do something to protect your pet, well then do the single, chewable that you give once a month that you really don't even need to give them once a month to be protective. But at least if your dog reacts, it's going to get out of their body in a few weeks. Don't give them something and those heartworm shots, they were recalled years ago. I remember the first round of those came out. I don't know. Time goes by so fast, probably 10 or 12 years ago. And they were pulled off the market a couple of years and now they're back. I think they must just wait long enough so that, anybody that maybe experienced side effects in their pets from those previous shots, those pets are probably gone. And so now they're starting over and people don't remember or something. I think there's no accidents in any of this. I think it's all very well orchestrated, all in the interest of making money.
Well, and they can just say, as you hear it over and over again, oops, we made a mistake. Oops, we didn't know about that. Gosh, really? That happened? We didn't know.
Yeah. And there's no liability, right?
Right.
I mean, people could, veterinarians are, we've talked about this, and according to the Colorado Practice Code, veterinarians are supposed to be practicing informed consent. And I think if enough people started reporting these cases where their dogs are vaccinated without their permission to the state board, maybe something would come of that. At least the veterinarians would know that people are paying attention, because nobody likes to get that letter from the state board, and the board is required to investigate. Anytime there's a complaint, they have to contact the veterinarian and let them know that somebody complained. So maybe people need to start You know, I think the time's coming where we need to be out there speaking up a little bit more and defending our rights and not just saying, well, this happened, it sucked. But, you know, I think we're going to have to get out there and fight for our rights if we want to keep them.
If you can get the information out, Dr. Jacek, I mean, seriously, if you can get the information out, that is the key. But you can talk amongst yourself, you know, you can talk amongst yourself. You can start questioning as one person. Many people, it's so amazing to me, right? So we ask a lot of questions. You ask a lot of questions. Have you had a vaccine? Have you had that? You know, has your dog had this? Has your dog had that? And people don't even really make that connection. And they don't have this information. Like in Patricia Jordan's article, she also says, look, Parvo didn't emerge as a mutation from a zero point. Where did it come from? And she said it emerged at the same time on several continents where they gave vaccines to dogs. The vaccines were the source of the Parvo virus. And you and I, as we are talking to people, and as we have looked at what's going on with the shot that is going around for people right now, there are so many similarities, so many things that happen in dogs, and we see it happening in people. I was looking at what are some of the side effects that dogs get from vaccines. Myocarditis, right? So heart inflammation, you know, blood clotting. There's all of these different things that we're seeing that we have seen in animal vaccines that we've seen in people vaccines. So what's going on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sure makes you wonder. Sure makes you wonder. Yeah. Uh-huh. And there's a lot of, you know, and there's lots of toxins in the world and just lots of stuff out there that I don't think we even know all of what we're exposed to. And the whole 5G thing too, you know, I don't think people think a whole lot about the effects of EMF on their pets. But these frequencies, and they're supposed to be, you know, also reacting with what's in, you know, the shots that people are getting. And so, is this affecting pets? I can't believe that it's not. And this, the magnetism that some people are experiencing, you know, pets are so sensitive. They got to be picking up. I actually heard a report, and I don't know, I didn't see any definitive proof of this, but that there have been some reports of dogs attacking their owners, and they're thinking that they're picking up on something abnormal in their people because of what's going on. And
They're identifying them as zombies.
Yeah, right. Like they don't recognize them. It's pretty freaky.
That is totally freaky. That's like a movie.
Well, that's what it feels like, is we're just living in the middle of a big sci-fi movie that you thought would never, you know, never thought we'd be living this way, but that's what it feels like.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you and I were discussing right before the podcast, this new information that's coming out on the graphene oxide.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you guys haven't heard about it, you do want to Google that and start to be looking at what they are finding in the test, in the vaccines, or let me restate that, in the shot, in the jab. Not good. And it's on a lot of things. It was in the flu shots. They're finding out. You definitely want to be taking a look at that. It's frightening as all get out. But, you know, what do we do with this fear? A lot of people talk about the fear definitely lowers your immune response. So I think that you just have to be have to be prepared, right? So I also think from a money standpoint, as we're seeing inflation going up, that you want to start. I saw an article coming out started saying you want to start buying some extra food right now. And I think so for your dogs as well, right? So last time this kind of craziness happened, we said, you know, have a couple of months. If you have the ability to store a couple of months of raw food for your dog, then you're probably going to be ahead money-wise. You know.
Yeah. Are you seeing your prices go up? Are you anticipating?
You know, I just don't know how you're not going to see it, Dr. Jasek. Yeah. When you see the cost of gasoline and transportation, and these products have to be moved around the country, right? The other thing is, in the processing plants, people are not going to work, right? So we can't get certain things that we used to be able to get, and they are having to do more with less people, because if you can get money from the government, why are you going to go to work? I mean, Neely, who manages Happy Trails, they cannot get enough workers, right? So this is happening all across the country. So you have to know that when money is going out, when they're printing so much money, inflation, which means your dollar doesn't go as far, right? And sometimes you have a hard time wrapping your head around it, but you say, okay, last time I went to the pump, or last year or 2 years ago, what was I paying? Mm-hmm. And I'm paying, you know, $20 more to fill my car up. I was talking to my mom, who said, you know, I'm buying the same thing at the grocery store, and it's $100 more now. Mm-hmm. So that's inflation. That's what.
Yeah. And they do the slow burn, right? It goes up slowly. Like, they don't, the price of gas doesn't increase $2 a gallon overnight, but it's definitely creeping up there. So it's, you know, 10 cents or so a week. And so you just slowly adapt to it. And that's, you know, that's all intentional. You know,
right.
They don't want you to realize, oh my gosh, you know, what's with this inflation stuff? And maybe we need to cut back on stuff. They just kind of slowly keep inching it up there.
Right. And you saw how the duck prices went up exponentially. It went up $2 a pound. It's like, bam. Right. And it was up there. One thing that I would suggest for our listeners, and certainly for our customers, is that look at Yappy Hour. So Yappy Hour is every Thursday night. We put things on sale. We put a lot of things on sale. So we're trying to help with these rising costs. Just a thought, I think you can still get the freezer chest out there right now. So you might want to invest in one of those for yourself and your dog. That'd be my advice. We always try to be transparent. We say that when people say, hey, why don't you have free shipping? And we say, because if you go over to that company and you take a look at what their price per pound is, they are putting those shipping costs in their price per pound.
Yeah, exactly. You don't, it, nothing, there's nothing's free.
Come on, Dr. Jasek.
No such thing as anything free.
This advice is free. Our advice is free. We give this away every week.
That's true.
Hey, I do want to ask you about this situation that came up. Another comment from our friends in the traditional veterinary world, where they told one of our customers, a great customer who is feeding raw, that their dog's anal sac rupture was due to feeding raw. So I just wanted to ask you, what's your thought about that?
I guess I would love to know how they connected those dots, because I don't see that. I actually tell people that dogs that eat raw will have less anal gland problems, because they got a nice firm stool, you know, that mineral in the bone that passes out, that gives the dogs those firm white stools. That, and it's kind of baffling to me, Didi, that kind of freaks some people out. They're like, well, these stools are really weird. And they're like, are they supposed to look like that? Like, yeah, enjoy those, you know, firm, small stools that just crumble into nothing. You hardly even need to pick them up. They just disintegrate. But those firm stools, as they're defecating, is also what's necessary to express the anal glands. And so I find dogs do typically way better and fewer anal gland problems on the raw. So I would really like to know how they're making that association. And
well,
there's got to be more to that story.
Interesting that you say that, you'd like to see that connection, because I said, well, did they give you any kind of connection of how they came to that information? Was there any kind of a research? Did they, anything? Can you give me anything? And she said, no, they gave me nothing. I got nothing. Amazing. I got nothing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And if you look at, what causes, what you were talking about, what causes a lot of that is the two soft poops. So I don't know. I said, well, I tell you what, why don't you ask them to give you the correlation, the documentation? We would love to see it. We're always willing to look at that. Send it to us.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, okay, so we'll see if we get anything else. But this is one of the reasons, Dr. JC, that I say to my pet parents, just don't tell them you're feeding raw.
Because yeah,
I feel like that they stop right there. They go, mm-hmm. there he goes. I don't have to do any research. I don't really have to look too deep. I can just say it's the raw. I put it off on that. I put you on Royal Canin. And off to the races we go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
on right. The path that we see going over and over and over again. So you got to ask the questions. You got to ask some big questions, right? Don't just stop at the, you know, one stop answer. It's all the raw's fault.
I totally agree with that, and I think that's also highly negligent in the veterinary community, is that they stop there because I'm sure they're missing things, and they're not doing appropriate diagnostics, and they're not helping the pets to the best of their ability because they're just blaming it on the raw. And they have no backing for that whatsoever. And so, you know, people, you go into your vets, ask questions, you know, ask them why do they say that? Like, show me a research study that links raw feeding to anal gland problems. Where is that information coming from? You know, information becomes the truth when people hear it enough times, and it doesn't even have to be true. And there's a lot of that going on. So you have to question, you know, this world is getting crazier by the minute, and you have to question what's going on with your pets, what's going on with, you know, your health. You know, are you getting informed consent when you go to the doctor? And you certainly should be getting informed consent when you take your pet into the veterinarian. And if you're not, then you need to be pushing back. It's not a time to sit back on your laurels and just take what's given to you.
No, or I think you're going to be in grave danger if we're not already there. I mean, Dr. Robert Malone, he is an mRNA vaccine inventor. And he asked this question. He said, what would happen to the entire vaccine enterprise? And he said, I'm talking about the pediatric vaccines, the fundamental bedrocks of public health, you know, vaccines for dogs, vaccines for people, vaccines for babies. He said, what would happen if we basically validate the criticisms of those who have been labeled anti-vaxxers? What happens? Mm. What happens? So if back to what we said earlier in the podcast, is it money, money, money? Well, what happens? I think we all know what happens. And there is this unsaid rule that we are not going to lose money. We don't care how many people are injured or pets die or people. Oh, we gotta have the money.
And you know what? I think veterinarians, you know, like, they don't realize, like, look at my practice. I mean, I don't do all those vaccines and pharmaceuticals. I have a thriving business because I don't do it. And people are seeking out other options. They know these things are not good for their pets, but they're not sure what to do because it's the only recommendations they're getting. And I can understand to a point where people are very, you know, very confused. They part of, you know, inside, they feel like that's not appropriate for their pet, but that's what their veterinarians recommended. And they should be a, you know, trusted medical professional. So they're, you know, they believe them. But again, you got to push back. You got to ask questions. Don't do anything just because, unless, you know, the evidence behind why it is appropriate for you or your pet.
Yeah, I do believe, Dr. Jasek, if these vets who are trapped inside the traditional veterinary mandate understood and could see a pathway for themselves to do great work, to really be involved in pet health, and they understood there's a different way to do it, I know they would do it. And I've seen your business just totally explode. You look at Dr. Todd Cooney, who's in Kokomo, Indiana, who they have said they haven't vaccinated a puppy in 13 or 14 years now. They are thriving because there is a different way to do it. Now, are you going to come up against, I think if you're a wussy and you have no courage and you don't intend on building your courage, then maybe you stay where you are. And that's the hard truth, right? There's always going to be risk involved. You know, when Rick and I left corporate America and started our business, right? Whether it was I started the speaking business or we started this business. I mean, there are always going to be risk involved and it is hard work. But busting your butt for the right things is very rewarding.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm actually this fall, I'm really going to be trying to find other vets that want to learn how to do this. So I'm in the process of writing an ad. I'm going to put it out in the AHVMA, the American Holistic Veterinary Medical Association. And that's going to be the premise of the ad. Like, do you want to learn how to practice true healing in, you know, and benefit your patients and along those lines? Because I agree. I think there just has to be a lot of frustrated practitioners that would like to be doing things differently, but they don't see the way out. They need their jobs. They have student loans. They have families to support. They're not, you know, veterinarians are not trained in running their own business. So that's scary. It was very scary for me from a business perspective. I'm still not a good business person, but I've learned to seek help in my areas of weakness. To manage the business part of it. But at this point, you know, I have a successful business model. A veterinarian could actually make a good living practicing this way, not doing the high-end stuff that I used to have to do in my old clinic, like the surgeries and the dentistries. Those things were sort of my bread and butter because it was a different practice model. And now I have lower overhead and, you know, practicing out of my home, but I think there's still ways you could get into a bigger space, a commercial space, and practice this way and have a very successful practice. And I'm gonna start putting those feelers out there. I decided I wanted to just take some time this summer to go camping and enjoy getting out, enjoying the outdoors and all that. But this fall, I really wanna start pursuing that.
You guys, seriously, if you get, you know, if you're not able to push back, you can pick up the phone and talk to Dr. Jacek. You can get a second opinion. You've heard this podcast. We have tons of podcasts. I have a learning center that has unbelievable information. Dr. Jacek on her site, AHAvet.com. That's animalhealingarts.com. Go to the multimedia site. There's so much free information that we are giving you here. And we want you to take it and use it, spread the word, get your dog on a species appropriate diet, get that immune system as strong as possible. Right? Get them on a species appropriate diet, avoid all that processed food, talk to Dr. Jacek, and do something that you're proud of, that by standing up, right? Stand up for your rights. Wake up, stand up, and snap out of it, Dr. Jacek, as I used in my speaking days. All right, everybody. That is our podcast today. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com today because your pet's health is our business. And friends, don't let friends feed kibble. We'll see you next week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Oh, snap.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.